From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds, and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests. And that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. You know, of course, I was born and raised in Asheville, North Carolina, and for more than 20 years, nobody has done more to spread the word, especially in the media, about witchcraft than my two guests this hour. They are controversial, they are fascinating, and they've been very successful. As a matter of fact, CNN just came to Western North Carolina and shot a segment with them that should be airing very soon, sometime this spring. They are the authors of a best-selling book. It's called The Goodly Spelled Book, Old Spells for Modern Problems. And I believe they've got quite a few more books that are probably going to be published in the very near future. I have a number of websites here for them, but I'll tell you for now, if you go to oldenwild.org, that's a good place to start. That's OldenWilde.org. And that's because my guests are the High Priestess and High Priest of Coven Oldenwild, Queen Lady Passion, and the High Priest Duvet. You know what? In order to make sure that it's not confusing, I'll address each of them one at a time. Good evening, Queen Lady Passion.
Good evening to you, too. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing very well, and happy to be joining you tonight from the Bermuda Triangle. Duvet, good evening to you, sir. How do we all sound here?
Merry meet, Josh. You sound great.
Thank you very much. This is the second time you two have been on Speaking of Strange. It's been a few years, so I'm glad we could touch base.
Well, we've been missing talking to you ever since you moved out there, so it's nice to hear from you again.
And I was mentioning earlier in the show, you two were hand-fasted, I guess, over 20 years ago. And did you do that in Asheville? I'll ask you, Queen Lady Passion.
No, we got married in a woodhenge out in the forest around our witch friends on October the 1st, many years ago. Actually, we met in 1993 and we got hand-fasted in 1994, so it's been quite a while.
And you know, it's amazing how much more popular that is. More people know about it, and it's really, I think, refreshing to be able to see that people have more options, especially in Asheville, for forming those kind of partnerships. Because when you guys came to Asheville and started working together, there was not a scene there like the scene we have today, where so many people feel comfortable coming together and sharing all of these different beliefs. I mean, how would you describe, Duvet, what Asheville was like when you first came there compared to how it is now?
Oh, people were still burning crosses on people's lawns. I mean, that happened to some friends of ours in just over the border in Madison County not long after we moved here. It was very locked down, and people felt frightened to come out, and whether they were witches or whether they were gay or all kinds of diversity that was just not really out in the open at that time. So when we did our first public witch ritual in the middle of downtown Asheville, we were deluged with protests, but far more with attendees. And it was so popular, people, we demanded we do it again, and we did it for 20 years after that. And played a huge role in just breaking open the sense of freedom that people really feel nowadays in Asheville.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, okay, Queen Lady Passion, it's nice that we live in a day and age when we have such mass communication. We have the internet to help people learn and to spread the word. And I don't want to spend too much time going over what witchcraft is because, you know, again, we've talked about that before. But what do you think is the number one thing that the average person may not understand about what witchcraft is and the education that you two have been trying to give the world?
I don't think that there's a lack of understanding anymore. So much has been publicized, even in things on TV like The Simpsons. I mean, it's well known that there are witches and there are witches and that witches are, you know, do good stuff and, you know, are activists and, you know, green people, you know. So that's really not a problem. I think it's just a massive repression of a lot of people still, and a lot of disparity in the world. That's an ongoing problem for everybody. And then, of course, with, you know, monotheists kind of warring against each other all over the planet, you know, there's a lot of tension. And I think the more and more that continues, the more attractive paganism becomes to people. They're just sick of it. And they realize this not only is there an alternative, this superior alternative. And, you know, we're not killing people. And, you know, we're promoting peace. And that's all good stuff. So I don't see the lockdown that used to be. I just don't see it. We don't experience it.
Right, right. Well, that's good. And by the way, you sound good, but if you can't speak up a little bit, we want to make sure, since we have both of you on the line, that we get equal volume. And so now let me ask you, DeVay, you know, right now there is, I believe, a very weird energy in the world. For one thing, it is a political year, and when we have these elections, presidential election, and so that always, I think, stirs things up and causes people to feel weird. But I know a lot of people right now who are going through big transformations and transitions in life. Do you think that there is something happening right now that you're sensitive to or that you guys are aware of that would explain some kind of a shift or a new paradigm or something that's happening right now?
Well, I am an astrologer and have been since even before I was initiated as a Wiccan. So I pretty closely follow the long-term cycles of the planets, and there's some very long-term ones that most people who aren't astrologers rarely talk about. Everybody talks about, oh, the age of Aquarius and whatnot. That's not really the main, most important thing that goes on when you look at cycles of world history. Right now, and for the last couple of years and going on through the election, we're in the midst of something called a Uranus-Pluto square. It's basically, to give the thumbnail version, in the 1960s, those 1960s, Uranus and Pluto came into conjunction. They were together in the sky for quite a long time. And most astrologers associate that with kind of the upheaval and turning upside down of the old world order that, you know, we associate with the 60s. Well, so as that cycle works its way out, it hits a point where it's one of the planets is at 90 degrees to the other. And that's a point of real tension, real struggle, where this new paradigm is trying to assert itself, but at the same time it's meeting a lot of resistance. And really quite a bit of all of this that you see going on around you is the struggle between real polarization between old and new, between people that really think there's only one way and need to make that one way great again, or people who believe in a diversity, that's harmony, working together is better than just having a single mindset and a single leader and a single God. So that's kind of where, obviously you could talk all night about that, but that's kind of my nutshell version of it.
Sure. All right. Well, and so how about you, Queen Lady Passion? I'd like to give you an opportunity to address that question as well, since I know that a lot of people are dealing with it right now.
Well, they do, and I have a worldwide clientele. I have decades. People call me when they're in need of all kinds of things, medical help, magical help. They want to know the future. They're terrified about the status of their lives, and they want a way out. And so I'm, you know, the kind of go-to person. And so I hear it all. I hear the undercurrent. I hear the trend. I see the wave before it crashes. And, you know, because everybody calls me from all over the world. And it's pretty much the same. They're tired. They're very tired of having struggled for so long. You know, and they're just, they're seeking self-solace now. Not through drugs or other weird things even, mainly through a lot of spirituality. They're really digging deep, and that's good. And they're wanting to see some results from that, and I think that's going to be coming. It's always a struggle, but they are struggling and digging deep and really pursuing a lot of their spirituality in a way that I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's I'm really intrigued to see how all this is going to turn out. And you know, when I learned that you guys are having such success, I figured that this is an example of how the mainstream mindset is changing a little bit more. We've got a couple of minutes before our next break, but Duvet, let me ask you, tell me about the CNN segment as much as you can say. I don't know if they've asked you to hold off before it airs, but tell me a little bit about them coming to Asheville to spend some time with you two.
Well, it's a well-known comedian, Kamal Bell, he's doing a show where, or was at the time, I guess he's done filming it, going across the country, looking at the alternative cultures in America, people that don't, you know, necessarily fit the mainstream, and doing it, you know, in a humorous but also intelligent way, not a mocking way, you know. He came to Asheville, interviewed a survivalist, a tiny house resident, and also us. They saved us for last, and we gave them a big ritual in our ritual room: fire leaping over a flaming cauldron. You know, and talk quite a bit about witchcraft and what it's like to deal with the kind of black versus white prejudice that not only affects people racially, but also affects the way people think about all kinds of things, you know, good versus evil, us versus them, that whole divided duality that, anyway, it was a great time, and I think they were really glad that it was we were their last stop, because they really kind of let their hair down and then hit the airplane for home.
All right, we're going to hold it right there. We'll pick up there when we come back on Speaking of Strange. Brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of Strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, and you'll also find the number of links for my guests here. I mentioned oldenwild.org. That's oldenwild.org. But also wiccans.org and oldenworks.org. We'll keep those linked up for you so you can go and explore their work. And, you know, for, 10 years or more, they have had an international bestseller, The Goodly Spellbook. And it's just a massive, very detailed book. And I believe they have some new publications that are probably in the works. But let me ask you, Queen Lady Passion, what are really the essential components of an effective spell?
Well, it's the spell starts, whatever it is, when you first start thinking about it. It's already started to run. Whether you do anything about it, it starts with wish magic. And then if you're wise, you put together components that speak to gods, that enable your power, and tell them, you know, I'm just making sure you understand this is what I'm targeting, this is what I need, this is what I want, or this is what I don't want. And then you put it together with some physical actions. You back it up with doing something mundane, you know, in addition to the magic spell that you do, in circle on foot, you know, or, you know, intentionally, with candles and incense and proper lighting and mood and all that. And you do something to physically back it up, like take an action, make a phone call, write a letter, do something. And then, you know, let the gods work it through, and it should usually snap within 3 days and, you know, get you what you need. And those are the main components. It sounds very simple, but it can be very intricate. It can be very highly stylized or rudimentary and simple. It works both ways, as long as you know what to do.
And so now, Queen Lady Passion, you two have also been experimenting recently with the wishing machines. What are your feelings about using that as a mechanism for magic?
Well, we're always... Although we follow the old religion, and we're very into old, you know, perpetuating old traditions, you know, don't fix what isn't broken, work with what works, what's known to work, what's always worked for people for eons. We also like to experiment because, you know, we don't want to get bored, and there's all kinds, and spirituality is vast, and magic is vast. So we came across this individual who makes these psionic, P-S-I-O-N-I-C, psionic machines, that he claimed were, wish boosters. And so, you know, would add some oomph. And so we did some experiments. I certainly got my wish within, you know, no time at all. And it was a very obscure and difficult wish to boot. And so we've been continuing to experiment with various versions of this machine. I've been working with him on some design tweaks to make it extra witchy. So far, so good. It's been a real delight to find, you know, we're not opposed to working with, you know, unusual tools as long as they do work. And we experiment with them properly and track our results. And this isn't a machine in the stance, from the stance that most people would think of it. It's a box. It's mysterious. It's been around for 100 years or more. Well, actually, 120 some odd. That we know of, so it's not brand new, but we had never worked with it before, and we do hold ourselves open to experimentation.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and for folks who have heard me talk about this before, of course, you're referring to Dr. Mulder and, you know, the wishingmachineproject.com website. It's got a lot of information about those devices, and we're really intrigued to always get different insights and perspectives. And, you know, Duvet, I know that it's when you're going to publish some books, sometimes there are things that you don't want to talk about in advance, you want to save it, but can you give us an idea of how at this point in your lives, when you already have this very successful book out there, that you are going to treat the process of moving forward and writing more? I mean, what are the other kind of arenas that you might want to explore as writers?
Well, we've actually put together a whole series of courses that we originally were going to publish ourselves on our website, and we may yet, but our publisher got very interested when we started to tell them about it, and so we're negotiating with them right now, and hopefully it'll bear fruit. One of them is about rites and Sabbaths, rituals and sacred days, you know. It's something people really just don't understand, don't know a lot about, but there are some really simple ways to learn how and why rituals work, and how, and you know, ways to celebrate and empower yourself by working with the turning of the year. You know, all of magic really is based on principles that are as basic as the one that the wishing machine runs on, which is polarity. You know, you have the two plates, one of them a conductor, the other an insulator. It's yin and yang, or well, yang and yin in that case. you know, most of what we do in magic is we reiterate over and over in these courses is based on just very simple but fundamental laws like that. And once you understand them, you can start devising your own spells and integrating it into your everyday life. Like one of the other titles we've got, you know, Everyday Magic. You know, there's ones on how to read tarot, how to read tea leaves.
Mystery. There's how to work with animals to be your magical familiars, you know. There's just about everything that that people have always yearned to know more in depth that we couldn't fit in our book. Actually, this isn't just the first iteration of the book. This is the second. This is the 10th anniversary printing, and it's sold out in a month. So Now we're getting to the point where we really do have to write extra material because they're just going to keep banging out the same book forever. And so I had taken the time off, you know, while the book was selling so great and written all these courses and all these other books. And so now we're, you know, I'm sitting on 12 of them. So it's like, let's go ahead. Let's just bang them out. Let's get them, you know, into the people's hands.
You know, Queen Lady Passion, when I started out as a very young writer, and, you know, I started publishing things when I was a teenager, when I first started trying to interview psychics and people like that in North Carolina, I discovered that there was this law, this anti-fortune-telling law out there, and people could not even express themselves freely in what I believe was their First Amendment right. And it was one of these old laws that had been on the books forever, and it's my understanding that you two played a major role in getting that law off the books. How did that work out? What was that process like?
Well, Duvet's an astrologer, but I'm a diviner. I read tell fortunes by 200 different methods. I've spent my whole magical life from teenage years, you know, developing that skill. When I found out about it through a paper that Duvet worked for as a journalist for a while, that there was this obscure law, I was outraged. And I started immediately protesting and defying the law and reading in public and daring the cops to arrest us, you know, and me, and, you know, and leading protests, and it sparked the whole thing. And so then I also backed it up again with physical action. We did some spell work on that, of course. But I also backed it up by appealing to the body that reviews these antiquated laws and decides whether to keep them or ditch them and let them die quietly. And so it took 6 years, but the pressure on them, we uploaded their contact information, we let everybody know, the protests spread to different cities, and then every Samhain, when we did our public ritual, you know, they would come and harass me, threaten to arrest us, you know, for doing all these hundreds of free readings at the end of the ritual. And I said, just go right ahead. You just, come on, you know, please. No, that's okay. But, oh, it was a hassle. And so we just kept defying it until they rescinded it statewide. And
yeah.
That's what you got to do. You've got to be bold, and you got to say no, and you got to explain to people, hey, you know, this also counts for Christians who look in the Bible and want to, you know, close their eyes and point at a word and get some divine, you know, guidance from their God. You know, and they do that. It's called bibliomancy. Well, according to this law, that would have been illegal. They could have been arrested for that. Once you show them the absurdity of what they're trying to make you do or not let you do, then it's easy to, you know, get rid of
it. Oh, you know, I'm glad that you did that, because I always thought how strange and illogical, and so, you know, it well, that in and of itself was a major shift and bringing, I guess, new thinking into a new age. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some about the impact that their work has had on prisoners, especially Queen Lady Passion. She is in touch with a lot of people who are in prison, and we're going to find out what she shares with them and how she helps them. Again, their website, one of the main ones you can go to, is oldenwild.org, oldenwild.org. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and speaking of strange, we'll be right back. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's, as well as links for my guests. I'm talking right now to Queen Lady Passion. She is the High Priestess of Coven Oldenwild in Western North Carolina, as well as her partner, the High Priest Duvet. They are best-selling authors. They are known around the world in various media for their work regarding witchcraft, fortune-telling, astrology, you name it. As a matter of fact, this spring they're going to be on CNN on a new series called United Shades of America. I guarantee you that's going to be fun to watch. And they have a whole slew of new books that are probably going to be out soon. But, you know, one of the things that is especially important to Queen Lady Passion is the work that she has done for more than 20 years for and with people who are in prison, who are, you know, obviously at these critical moments in their lives where they're trying to make sense of the world. And I imagine that that's a lot of pressure and responsibility to sort of help some of these people. Tell us how that started and what a typical experience would be like for you, Queen Lady Passion.
Well, it started in 1995. An inmate had heard about our doings in town, you know, our rituals, and that we were very public and open. And he asked his chaplain to contact us and see if we'd be willing to come up and teach him and some of his fellow pagans. So they did contact us. We did come down there. We taught them for 6 years in person, about, you know, once a week, every Saturday night, you know, when other people were going out partying, we were going to prison and teaching folks, you know, I mean, medium security. But these were robbers, rapists, thieves, you know, the lot. And they were trying intentionally to make their lives better. One of the leader of the group took a great risk and being real bold and working with us to get more rights for them. And we got tons of rights. We circled with them outside. We got them allowed to drink a little wine, sacramental wine, when we circled with them. We did full ritual with them. And so we worked with him to get him released early. To our knowledge, he has not recidivized. And so we got a lot of our people out. And then it just mushroomed. Word spreads faster in prison than any other way. It would freak out the internet. It happens almost intrinsically. And so I've never advertised, but word is spread. So we have a map, a prison map, on oldenwild.org, and all the information about this, and lots of posted artwork that the inmates have sent us. They're a very talented group, believe it or not. They've got a lot of time. And they have a lot of angst and a lot of emotion. And so they produce wonderful works of art and send it to us. And so it started from there. But I've had to learn over the years to become a real expert on legal matters, medical, how to get them proper medical care, and especially how to make those bigoted chaplains and super administrator folks, capitulate to the pagan rites that should exist. And so they violate them routinely. But I deal with the worst of the worst. I deal with death row inmates every day. I deal with lifers every day. I deal with people I wouldn't want to have, scoper with, dinner with. But, if they approach me nicely, if they take my advice, I will go to the mat for them. I will work with them all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. And I've done that, and we've gotten, over the years, lots and lots of rights in lots of states that were never there before. But it's an ongoing thing, and it is a sacred charge. It's very, I take it really seriously. I get probably 20, over 20 letters a week from all over the nation, in every state, and probably have lots of groups here and there. I have groups in military prisons. I have groups, I also help institutionalize people think are crazy, but they're just witches or they're just pagans. They see the world differently. And so if you're locked up and you're pagan or you've got some other obscure religion that you're not getting your rights met with, or you're being beaten by you're thrown in the hole for your religious beliefs or whatever, that happens every day. I'm here to help. All you got to know is reach me, mail me. Send me an SASC, and we'll go to town, and I'll make it better for you. That's what I do. And then after they get released, I help them to stabilize and to try and contact other groups and try to make it so they don't go back inside.
All right. So now I'm presuming a lot of people in prison don't have access to the Internet. Would you like to give out your mailing address for if somebody's listening, or how does that work?
Sure. They can contact the Coven, Coven Oldenwild, or me, Queen Lady Passion, at 113 Clinton, like the President, Avenue, Asheville, 2 East, North Carolina, 28806. And, I've been interviewed for a bunch of pagan magazines, and I'm listed with the Justice Department. I'm in a couple of books as this sort of resource. But, no advertising, just word spread. And so, yeah.
All right.
And I will take prepaid phone calls. I just can't take collect ones. But I do speak with them. I spoke with one earlier this morning on the phone about an issue that he had. So, I try to be available and very approachable because that's what they need. They don't need to be turned away and they don't need to be ignored. Then they get frustrated and then they come out, and they do bad things. So
yeah. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And let me repeat that. Again, you can write directly to Queen Lady Passion at Coven Oldenwild at 113 Clinton Avenue, just like the president, 113 Clinton Avenue, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806. And Duvet, let me ask you, sir, if somebody comes to you out of the blue and says, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know anything about Wicca, witchcraft. I mean, this is totally foreign to me, but I feel compelled to learn. What is sort of like the basic process that you would take that person through?
Well, say, read our book. but more than that, yeah. To understand it, it's understand that it's got three elements to it. It's polytheist. It means you accept the possibility of many gods and spirits and other forms of being that you can actually interact with. It's treats nature as sacred because nature is a far better teacher than humans and their prophets and their books. it's a form of spirituality. It starts with you, with your soul. You know, it's not just a bunch of techniques. It's also it also involves changing the way you live your life so you're more observant of everything that goes on around you. You pay attention to what happens when you do certain things and what kind of consequences occur. It's what the ancients called philosophy in the days of Plato and Aristotle. Nowadays we call it witchcraft. They're really, the more I read of the ancients, the more I just don't see any difference, to be honest.
Right.
Well, there isn't. It's a philosophy is an aspect of it, you know. Wise thinking, you know.
Yeah, nowadays we have a little box that has the philosophy label on it. But in those days, it was, you know, a way to live and that's in touch and in tune with larger patterns than just, you know, just how am I going to, you know, get something to eat and get some coin of the realm tomorrow, you know. But working with, working really, really at the root of it, as we teach in the book, is the art of correspondences. It's the ability to recognize and understand the connections among things and to utilize them and participate in them too, because, you know, you're a part of this world too. People like to think of themselves as you know, sitting in a little control tower just pulling the levers, but no, the same principles that apply to magic also apply to psychology. So there's an awful lot of crossover there too. Like if you're trying to use a spell to change a bad habit, you know, to influence somebody who you need to give you a job or a judge to alter your sentence. You know, if you do things right and you, you know, work with these patterns of correspondences and similarities and so forth. That's really the reason behind a lot of this, you know, what people dismiss as, you know, old superstitions, like throwing the coin in the wishing well. Well, you're making an offering to the chthonic deities, you know, the forces that, of divine forces beneath the surface of the earth. They don't just live in the sky.
Right.
That sort of thing. There's reasons for all of those old superstitions that go back to magic, and once you begin to understand these correspondences, you start to see, oh, that's why you do that. You know, that's why you do
all
that.
All right. Well, we are going to go to our next break. When we come back, we will be in the final minutes of this hour, and I'm going to give Queen Lady Passion and Duvet the floor to pass along whatever they would like all of you listening to this program to take with you mentally. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Yeah, we're in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Coming up next hour, what we call it the Dark 30 Hour, when I'm going to read you some of the more sordid and seedy news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's why we save it for late at night, so you can stick around if that kind of thing is your cup of tea. So this past hour, I've been talking with Queen Lady Passion and Duvet. Queen Lady is the High Priestess, and Duvet is the High Priest of Coven Oldenwild in Asheville, North Carolina. Again, their website is oldenwild.org, oldenwild.org. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, we'll have links to all their websites, and I'll also put their mailing address there. So here in these final minutes, I just want to open the floor, and let me ask you first, Lady Passion, what do you want to leave our listeners with tonight?
I'd like to exhort them that there is so much wicked, powerful magic that can transform their lives and their hearts and everybody around them. Transform their whole situation just by a piece of string, using an egg, all these kind of common household things that most people have around the house. Our book really focuses on that because they're oldie but goodie spells. They work, and they've always worked, and they will continue to work no matter how technological people get. And I think that's very liberating. It's thrilling to know that you can work wicked magic with just a little piece of string, maybe an egg, you know, little things, a candle. You know, you can do a lot with a little. And I want people to know that.
Yeah, that's great. I love that interactive, hands-on approach, giving everybody a way to actually, you know, take things they may have already at their house and start using them to refine their thoughts. Okay, before the clock gets us, how about you, Duvet? What would you like to leave our listeners with tonight?
Well, sort of a theme I've been harping on a little bit tonight. Always look at the other side. Whenever you think you know one side of something, always look at the other side too. Always look at the black when you think you know the white, and vice versa. And that sounds like abstract, but you find it's the real secret to success in magic and all kinds of other realms, is being aware of the basic duality, the polarity of things. So, for instance, when you're having an argument with your family, try to look at it from their side. You know, amazingly, that can actually work sometimes, and find they'll look at it from your side too. It's the power of paradox that we use a lot in magic. Just being able to stand things on their head and look at them upside down, and say, well, wait a minute, now both sides make sense together. just something to think about, and so many ways to apply that, I couldn't even begin to list it.
I like that, the power of paradox. And, boy, if everybody had just enough imagination to do that, and the sad thing is most people probably do have enough imagination, they just don't take the time to do it. But if everybody did it, then there would be dramatic improvements in how we treat each other and
amazing.
How we can work together.
People will put up with so much stuff from their work that they hate, or where they're living, or their neighbors, or their mates, or whatever, and yet they won't put in a tenth of the effort to just help themselves just a little bit, you know, with a little small, action or tweaky thought form, you know, that, you know, is something different for them, you know, a different way of looking at things. And so, you know, you don't have to totally alter your, you know, behavior top to bottom. But incremental change can work wonders. And so, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? As I mentioned to you off the air, I want to reiterate, the work that you two have done has improved our community and has improved personally my experience and the way that people have looked at, you know, strange things and paranormal things. And so I appreciate the effort that you put out. I certainly congratulate you on your success so far and your continued success. We'll do our best to remind everybody when you're going to be on CNN with the United Shades of America. And also, I want to repeat one last time, if you're going to just go to one place, go to oldenwild.org, oldenwild.org. But we will have all of their websites listed for you at speakingofstrange.com. And, of course, our podcast will be up there forever. So, hey, Queen Lady Passion Duvet, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Speaking of Strange tonight.
Thanks so much. And merry success to you, too. You're kicking some tail in a different part of the world, and that's great.
Thank you very much, Josh. And, yeah, we remain big fans of Speaking of Strange.
All right, cool. I appreciate that very much. So, all right, folks, that's going to do it for hour number two. Once again, coming up next, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour, if you're interested in that kind of material. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is being presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And Speaking of Strange, we'll be back right after these messages.
Month old baby, broke the looking.